Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hello, I am Ariel Munafo.
And I am Moshe Ferber.
And this is the Silver Lining Podcast.
The podcast about security engineering.
Hello everyone, another episode of Silver Lining Podcast. And with me as always, Moshe. How are you, Moshe?
Very good. It's a long recording day today, so this is the third episode we're recording.
Yes, but we are still happy here, so no problem.
And now we have the most important guest for the day. It's a pleasure to have you here, Gafnit.
Hello,
and we also have Vladi, but we'll start with you, Gafnit. Can you please introduce yourself and what are you doing?
Sure, I'm Gafnit Amiga, Director of Research at Lightspin. Coming from a background in application security and cloud security for over 7 years. Started my way in GE Digital, then moved to Salesforce and now joined Lightspin. And what we do as in Lightspin as part of the research is to find the new techniques to attack the clouds and detect them, and also to ease the remediation. And that's it for now.
Yeah. Okay, so the reason you're here is because I saw your research about RDS vulnerabilities and I was very impressed and I wanted to talk to you about it. But in a second, we also introduced our second guest. I think this is the first time that we're having two guests.
Yeah.
And this is actually Vladi is the second time that he's here. But still introduce yourself, Vladi.
Thank you for inviting us. So Vladi Sandler, I'm the CEO and the co-founder at Lightspin. More than 13 years of experience in security. Starting in the military, after that Ernst & Young, then I get lucky to work with Gafnit in General Electric. Today we're more than 2 years on the crazy road, roller coaster road on cloud security, Lightspin.
Oh, perfect. The reason we're here today is to talk about your research and also to talk about a couple of open source that you have released to the community. So first of all, thank you for the contribution to the community. We always appreciate it. And I think we begin with the RDS vulnerability that you discovered and the research that followed that. Gafnit, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. So as part of the role in Lightspin, what we are doing is to research managed services in order to understand if they are strict enough, if their security configurations are good. And actually the RDS was a lead from another service that I hope will be published soon. But when I saw RDS, I thought about how can I get an elevated action on the machine. In RDS, it's a rational database managed by AWS. You can choose if you want the DB to be MySQL or Postgres. So of course they will not let you to do any actions like to access the underlying EC2 machine. So they prevent actions like executing commands or access to the external network. And then I thought, well, maybe I can use the functionality of Postgres itself to find a way and to do those actions. Mm-hmm. And then it's tricky, you know, because when they want to give you capabilities and the features to do all the things that you can do in Postgres, so it will be for you the same experience you have. So they cannot give you a real super user. What they give you is an RDS super user. And they need to limit the specific actions in order to gain what they want to get. So after a lot of research, I can tell you that there were many ways I explored before reaching the extension. I thought that extensions can be the place where they will miss something, because it's really hard to do a good integration with extensions. And after reviewing several other extensions, I reached to an extension named log forward data wrapper. And this is an extension that lets you view the Postgres logs inside the Postgres as a table. Mm-hmm. And when you want to view the logs, one of the things that you provide is the path of the log file that you want to dump into a table. So first thing that you try is, well, instead of giving the path to a file in the Postgres machine, I will provide any file I want, like etc passwd. But then, of course, it didn't work with a regular path traversal, and I had to learn about the data wrapper functionality in Postgres. And Postgres has a very good docs, and they explain what you need to do. And one of the things there was that when you want to create an external data wrapper, you need to provide two functions, the handler and the validation. And the validation is optional. So I hope that if I will drop the validation, they will not validate the path that I'm trying to reach. And this is what happened. I dropped the validation function, and I could do it because I'm a super user, a kind of super user, not a real super user, but had enough permissions to drop the validation. And inside the handler, there were no validation on the path. And this is why I was able to start and reading files in the underlying machine. And I started to search for an interesting file. And I got lucky because one of the files stored credentials for some internal AWS service named Grover. And this is where the research ended, because I cannot start move laterally inside AWS environment. It's not something that we should do. And I reported about the issue, and then they fixed it. They actually reached out to vulnerable customers and asked them to upgrade to a more secure version. And that was the finding. And that I wrote a post that includes also the process I went through, mm-hmm. and what didn't work. And I think that these are kinds of posts that I like as a reader to read, and I really try to do my best to reflect this also in my posts.
Okay, so first of all, we're going to post a link to this research on the episode website, so check it out. A couple of questions. So you basically spin up on a machine, the machine spins up with a database. In your case, it was Postgres, and the vulnerability was some kind of an implementation of extension to the Postgres. Can I reach out from that if I launch an Oracle, it will be, it might have a different extensions, different problems, but this problem is only relevant to Postgres on RDS?
Because you need the specific extension. Mm-hmm. The vulnerability was as part of the extension itself. Mm-hmm. This is...
Are you continuing to check other extensions? Or was that enough?
Well, so I looked at some other ones, but there was another issue that I had to finish with the lead first. I submitted it last week. So.
I also have on my to-do list to hack some servers. Yeah, this is what I do for Saturday morning. I'm just kidding. It's a very interesting. It's a very interesting research. Thank you for that. Just to clear things out. So basically, when you did the file traversal and you found out this, there was a credential file with access key for internal AWS service. Do you know what this service is? This grabber?
Unfortunately, not. Mm-hmm. They cannot disclose anything about this service. What they did is to fix the issue, so you can no longer access to the credentials.
So if I'm an AWS user, I need to update my Postgres and then be safe from that.
Yeah.
Okay. So this was a fascinating one. You also released recently an open source that is called the Recon Cloud. Can you tell us a little bit about this open source project?
Yes, sure. The Recon was a collaboration with also another researcher named Nogayama Mitai. And the idea behind this tool was to enable anyone to get the picture of how their cloud environment looks from the outside. And it was, we thought about how can we enumerate over all the assets that you have. And the initial thought was we can use DNS to achieve that. And then we need to add another detail such as the region, the IP addresses, and more. Maybe in the future we are planning to add security issues that we were able to find in each one of the assets. And we thought it will be really helpful to add these details as part of the results, because there are other tools for subdomains enumeration, but this is not the purpose of this tool. We don't want to enumerate your subdomains. What we want is to scope down and to look only on the cloud, and then we can give you more context so you can know each asset, each subdomain, what is the asset type, if it's public or maybe it should be private. And then using maybe the CNAME, you can get extra details about what this asset is. And this was the goal of Recon Cloud.
Okay, so Recon Cloud is an open source. You can find it on GitHub, right? And you can also find it on the episode page. We put a link to that. And I use it basically to map my DNS, my subdomains, and my public assets, right? Everything that is exposed. And then I can use this mapping in order to explore further on, where you have other tools that can do that. And from this, we are moving on to you. Vladi, we brought you here to talk about two other open source projects that you have, the Red Detector and the Red Cube. So can you give us, first of all, a little bit about Lightspin and what they do with this open source? I mean, what is the goal of releasing those open source? And then we dive into the actual packages.
Sure. Small note, Recon Cloud is actually a SaaS. It's a free SaaS. So just browse to recon.cloud. It's not on GitHub.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Shortly about your question about Lightspin, our main unique value proposition is the ability to prioritize and remediate any kind of risk that you have today in your cloud environment, from infrastructure as a service to Kubernetes, from CICD to runtime in one platform. And just as Gafneet mentioned before, the heart, and most of the time we're really investing in deep dive research, which is the heart of the product, and we're really extending as part to the community. And that's why we came with Red Detector and Red Cube, that we will discuss about them today. You can find them in our GitHub. The Red Detector is actually the ability to provide a customer with vulnerability management, agentless vulnerability management. You can take a snapshot of your servers and scan them for CVs, supporting only Amazon currently, but it's a strong community approach. We say, I need to give you the ability to better manage your posture, even if you don't really need now like a scalable tool or some enterprise tool, but some basics when you start your journey to the cloud. The second tool is Red Cube, that provide you penetration testing capabilities for your Kubernetes based on Mitre, mapping to Mitre. And that's also come from the same approach that we see that a lot of time people, we have a starvation for experts, it's not something new. You have a challenge, sometimes you have a good expert for Amazon or for Azure, but then you surprise and say, hey, now you have also AKS, so verify that it's good enough, right? So we say, okay, how we can support better the community and give them some basic capabilities to improve the security posture of their environment. And we understood that, okay, we can give this map to run by yourself, get understanding what's going on in your cluster, map it to Mitre so the CISO can get better understanding, or the board whenever you're presenting it to. And that's actually the story of those two tools.
Okay, so let me ask a couple of questions in order to better understand. So for the Red Detector, basically I give it permission, it snapshots my instances, right, my volumes, and then it will do some kind of vulnerability management, vulnerability scanning on those instances, right, on those basically volumes.
Yeah.
So the idea is that I don't need an agent, I don't need a network scan, nothing like that. I just snapshot and then act. Any operating system that you don't support or support, or where is it currently aiming in terms of operating systems?
Yeah, so the process is simple. We take a snapshot, put it on a spot, and using vools.io, another good open source I think most of us knows, to scan the volume. Mm-hmm. At this stage, you can find in the GitHub itself all the operating systems supported. We support probably the most popular and used by at least most of the enterprises we know. And that's basically the concept of how does it work.
Okay, and it's a GitHub project. Yeah, and I can go there and install it. Type of permissions, basically snapshot my EBS and
right.
run Spot instance. That's
exactly
what we need. Okay, and Redcube, again, downloading for GitHub, give it permissions to connect to my AKS, managed yeah. Kubernetes, is it? That's the
yeah, it's supported. Sorry, it's supporting any kind of Kubernetes in place, just running the script as part of your cluster, and then basically will communicate with your API server, will collect the RBAC and give you some picture of not only RBAC and other permissions in place, but basically can give you from list of secrets to Docker running, your container running in privileged mode and more.
And more. Okay, EKS, also Azure, Google,
mm-hmm.
all the big three?
Yeah.
Oracle, IBM.
We never tried it in Oracle, but I don't think it's supposed to be. Yeah, I don't think it's a lot of, it's a really good question probably to GovNet, but I think there is not too much differentiation. When you look on Kubernetes, it's like a box, the question what it's running on, so it's supposed to support all of them. GovNet, what do you think?
Yeah, so Redcube uses the kubectl commands themselves to get these findings and results. So it doesn't matter where the cluster is running. All you need to have is the ability to access using kubectl mm-hmm. to the API server.
I have another question for you, which is off topic, but I'm interested in your opinion. The episode we recorded before you was about third-party software and the risk of third-party software. Let's say I'm a DevOps engineer or some company. I need to scan my Kubernetes service, so I'm downloading one product from GitHub. How do I know this product is not malicious? I mean, what tools do I have? I know it's a tricky question for you guys. It came to my mind.
I think that my personal opinion, and I would love to hear GovNet, but my personal opinion, never trust no open source. Doesn't matter where it's coming from, okay? Because it's a community tool and everyone can continue the development. And let's assume now I see it's a really popular community tool and just I want that in the console it will be in green, yellow, and not in white. And I add some other model that's also open on reverse shell, so we have a problem. So I think it's always, every time you use some open source tool, do your own validation before you use it probably in production. But I think that's probably part of the story and the trust of community. I think that if you really extending some capability and everyone can continue to support and develop it and write about it, blogs how to use, so people will review this code probably better than any closed code, right? That's the beauty of open source. So that's probably my two cents in this story.
What I think is that if I don't trust the author or the company that released these third-party tools, so I probably will not use them. If it's a small script or code, I will usually brief over it to see what it does. But a big alert that should come up is what are the permissions that this tool requires. So if it doesn't make sense, the level of permissions that it requests to the task that it needs to do, then you need to be more careful or consider not using it.
Yeah.
Moshe, since you went off topic, we didn't have enough women here, GovNet. You are only the second one, right? We have Shira twice. And this is something important for us. So if you can share your how did you start going to the cloud security or technological path? My daughter is 8 and I would like her to listen about you.
Well, so I started the technological path in my national service in the Prime Minister office. I actually didn't know at that time what will be mm-hmm. and what is cybersecurity or even computer. I did the programming in my high school,
yeah.
But I didn't know the connection between what is the code I'm writing and the computer itself.
Yeah.
So it's a big difference, and so I started there learned a lot about networking, and then when I moved to General Electric, I learned about application. Actually, Vladi was the one that the first one that showed me the structure of an HTTP, mm-hmm. and yes, and then lots of self-learning, and also I really encourage to ask people. Mm-hmm. And then from one task, from one research to another, you learn the field, and this is how I started, and I really love application and cloud, because I started with application, and I love to find logical issues in the systems, like to look from the upper view and think what can get wrong. But then I realized that the world is going to cloud. So even if you want to look only on the application scope, you have to know more than that in order to leverage the full context. Mm-hmm. And I think that each and every one of us today has to know what cloud is, at least the basics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Taking it from your daughter, it's always start with school. I mean, you need to get to the right military unit, but in order to do that, you need to learn computers in school. So it's like a chain.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So going back to the topic, after we spin a bit, which is Lightspin, summarizing everything we just said. So Lightspin is doing a cloud security, and part of what you do is research around security, and this is how you came across this RDS. A lot of digging, a lot of trial and error. You try this and you try that, and then you finally succeed. On this case, manipulating an extension for the RDS. So thank you, it was an interesting story. And part of what you do in Lightspin is basically giving to the community some of the tools, mostly around detection, right? You're focusing more on your commercial, you're focusing more on the remediation and workflow and the post-mortem of the event. But for the detection, you believe this should be part of the community, so you release different tools. And we're going to have links to all those tools in the episode website. So thank you again for your contribution to the community. And we spoke about three tools, right? The first of all, the Recon Cloud, which is a software as a service that actually map your DNS, your public assets. And we talked about the Red Detector, which can snapshot your instances and then look for vulnerabilities in your operating systems. And we talked about RedCube, which is dedicated for Kubernetes and detecting vulnerabilities over there. And all of those tools are available for everybody, free use and scrutiny. And basically, one is SaaS and the other is from GitHub, right? And then your GitHub, give us one word. Can you find other tools, just in one word, other tools that you have
there?
Yeah,
we have more. You can find the Red Bucket, and which is a good tool. Also research of GovNet. And we have Red Shadow.
For Red, they have.
Yeah, they have a lot of Red. Okay. So last word from any one of you. Want to say something?
You want to start?
Yeah, there is also ECE, a tool that our CISO created for creating more secure EKS clusters in AWS, and even we are using it inside Lightspin.
Mm. So it's hardening your EKS clusters?
Now everyone knows that we use EKS. Anyway, I think from my side, so we're always looking for more great people to join the company. Proud to share we are a gender balanced company. We have more than 50% women in the R&D. So looking to hire more. And basically, thank you for inviting us.
Thanks a lot. Thank you. It was a very interesting episode.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.